It's a pleasure to talk to our good friend, Congressman Don Manzullo. Congressman, good morning to you.
How are you this morning?
We're well. How's everything going?
It's terrible. The Democrats adjourned Congress without addressing the situation of the tax cuts, so Americans don't even know what their tax rates are going to be. In fact, the IRS is going to start printing the forms pretty soon, and they don't know. I mean, this is outrageous the Democratic leadership in both the Senate and the House would adjourn, go home to politics for a whole month without taking up, the very serious issue of whether or not these tax cuts are going to be continued.
John Boehner yesterday, Congressman, said that he had the votes to pass an extension of the current tax rates for all Americans. Was that the case? Is that true?
I agree with that because I think something like 47 Democrats had signed a letter in the House. It was a huge number, but it was enough. It was enough to come to a majority to extend all the tax cuts. That's what Boehner said. In fact, the adjournment motion only passed by one vote. I think it was
210 to 209, I think.
Yeah, 210 to 209, and that really was a referendum as far as we're concerned. I mean, why would you leave work for a month, get paid by the taxpayers, to go home without doing your work, especially something involving a $3.5 trillion tax increase that's going to happen to the American people? It's outrageous.
Well, and I was going to ask you, I would imagine the least safe place in Washington yesterday would be walking anywhere near the parking lot when everything was done for fear of getting run down with them trying to get out of town.
It was a stampede.
Yeah.
But it's just, that's what makes people upset about Congress. That's why I'm upset about Congress. But it has to be, ultimately you have to lay it at the feet of the Democratic leadership because they're the ones that control the schedule. I mean, even for people making between $8,000 and $16,000 a year, their income tax is going to go up by 50% unless something happens. It's just if farmers are going to lose their farms, small manufacturers won't be able to pass their facilities onto succeeding generations. The huge marriage penalty will come back, and the $1,000 tax credit that you get for every child under 17. We'll go to $500.
So what is the absolute deadline to take a vote before the tax hike on all Americans kicks in?
Well, we don't know. Supposedly by December 31st, but it's not inconceivable that they could wait until after January and then make make the tax rates retroactive to the first of the year. So. It's just absolute. You don't do stuff like that. It's just reckless and irresponsible to adjourn with all the work that has to be done. We were insisting, so we're going to stay here as long as it takes to get this thing done, so people know what their tax rates are going to be. And that's one of the reasons why you still have the stagnation in the economy is because the people that want to invest, the so-called upper income, the upper 2%. About 60% of those people are small business people, and they want to know what their tax rates are because those are the types of people that, instead of paying taxes, they reinvest back into the company.
What does it say, Congressman, because I'm looking at this, a motion to adjourn upon completing routine business passed by a single vote, as we talked about, 39 mm-hmm. Democrats joined Republicans in protest. Now, what happens to those 39 who joined you in protest?
Well, the 39 Democrats that joined all the Republicans in protest are sending a message that they wanted to stay here and get the work done before adjourning. In other words, deal with the issue of the tax cuts. And I would take a guess that the people, 39 who voted no, were the very same ones that signed the letter saying that they want to extend the tax cuts across the board and not pick and choose as to which ones will get the cuts and which ones will not.
But basically, they're not getting a hearing from the speaker on this at all.
They could have voted their conscience and defeated the motion to adjourn, but all the arm twisting was going on, and in fact even the speaker voted, which is very, very unusual. It's extraordinarily unusual for the speaker of the House to vote, and she voted, and she actually cast the deciding vote. Otherwise, it would have been hung up at 209 to 209, And if it ties, it, you know, by the rules, it fails. So, I mean, that's how contentious this is. And when people talk about bipartisanship and everything, I mean, you just, you know, just have to remember that one party controls what comes up on the calendar. And she was afraid that if this if the bill to extend the tax cuts came up, they'd be extended across the board. And I don't know why she's afraid of that, except they want to demonize the fact that some people earn higher incomes, but it's those higher income people are the ones that have the money that you have to put back into the investments that really create the jobs.
Congressman Don Manzullo with us for a while longer here on Straight Talk on WROK. Wanted to ask about the Pledge to America, which was unveiled last week by Republican leaders. What are your thoughts on the pledge, what it entails, and will you be, I guess, signing on to it?
Yeah, the well, first of all, the Pledge to America, which should have come out at the same time the document was what we call the palm card, that really lists everything into five distinct topics. Some people said, well, you know, it's not specific enough. Someone said, well, you know, it's too specific. But I mean, when you have some very good outlines, let me give an example: a plan to stop out of control spending and reduce the size of the government. It talks about getting rid of the TARP program. That's pretty specific. It also talks about bringing down the budget to 2008 levels in order to balance the budget over a period of time. It would save $100 billion. So what's interesting about it is it's a roadmap to how we're going to deal with, you know, creating jobs, stopping out of control spending, replacing government takeover health care, reforming Congress and restoring trust, and a plan to keep our nation secure at home and abroad. And, I mean, even such things as a rule requiring members of Congress to read the bill, which means that legislation has to lay over on the table at least 3 days before voting on it. That's pretty specific. That's very important. So you don't have this last-minute thousand-page bills being slapped on the table with absolutely no opportunity to read them.
Well, that and the fact that we had people before saying and seemingly somewhat proudly, well, there's some, I don't have time to read that.
Well, then you don't belong in Congress.
Well, that was kind of my thought.
The you can't read every bill. Some bills you don't have to read because they're very terse language, and they just deal with you know, funding different agencies, and all you really have to take a look at is what the dollar amount is, because all the language is, you know, the same from year to year. But in the health bill that came to the House, it was about 1,200 pages. Even with my trained legal eye, I had over 2 hours of study on that thing. Over 200 hours of study on that thing, and read it, and I had to call lawyers on the staff and other people to take a look at it and say, you know, how do you interpret this thing? And you know, finally, I was able to get a grasp of how bad the bill was, and that's the reason I voted against it.
One of the criticisms that Caller had brought up, or at least a comment Caller had brought up about the Pledge to America, was about the size of government, either stopping the growth and at some point moving towards reducing the size of government. Do you think there's enough in the pledge that people are committed to doing something like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, it stops all unspent stimulus funds. That's about $300 billion, and applies that money towards the national debt. You know, it cuts government spending to pre-stimulus, pre-bailout levels, saves at least $100 billion the first year alone. It establishes a hard cap on any new spending so that you're frozen at prior levels. It cuts Congress's budget. My office, ever since I've been in office, I've always returned money back to the Treasury, and in fact, several million dollars. Never used the mass mailing a franc, which has saved hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. In fact, when I was first elected, even as a freshman, before I was sworn in, I'd led my Republican freshmen and my Democratic colleagues, and we eliminated four select committees, and that saved $10 million a year. So, you know, it's a matter of going on in and pruning down, you know, the size of the budget that Congress actually uses. We, you know, we made our office a lot more efficient and actually reduced the size of one of our district offices, saved quite a bit of money doing that. I mean, you know, I think these are pretty terse commitments about how to stop the out-of-control spending and reduce the size of government.
Congressman.
I mean, it also imposes a net federal hiring freeze on non-security employees. And it ends TARP once and for all. That's the bailouts. And it ends government control of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So I think it's a good step. Again, this is an outline of where you want to go in order to accomplish a purpose. And that's the whole reason that the Pledge to America was made.
Congressman Don Mangiulo with us for another couple of minutes. I understand you have a meeting coming up later on today with some of the Embry-Riddle folks about the possibility of coming here to Rockford. What's your feel on
it
that?
First of all, the meeting just got canceled because Dr. Johnson, the president of Embry-Riddle, got weathered in Daytona.
Tropical storms will do that from time to time.
Tropical storms will do that. We are really excited. I've got letters in my hand from United Technologies. You know, that's Hamilton Sunstrain in Rockford. Excuse me, GE Aerospace and Woodward Governor. Three of the over 130 companies that we've identified as being involved in aerospace manufacturing directly addressing the issue of hiring and creating internships and hiring graduates from Embry-Riddle. And I talked to Dr. Johnson last Friday and told him I had these letters. He said, that's exactly what I want to hear, because Embry-Riddle wants to locate in a place where a community opens up its arms and says, look at all the things that we have here for you. We have a huge growing aerospace industry. We have lots of opportunities to hire aerospace engineers. And the school that will be set up in Rockford is also for training pilots. I mean, this is big. This is huge. And so that's why everybody's really working overtime to bring them in. I'll be flying down to Daytona next week to meet with the people down there and again talk to them about setting up campus in Rockford.
Well, without being too Pollyanna-like, it seems as though we got a real good shot at this.
I think we have an excellent shot on it. The best indication was when Dr. Johnson himself was the first person to sign the petition.
that's always an indicator of good things to come, sure.
And there was an article that actually appeared in the Daytona newspaper about the different cities that are vying for Embry-Riddle, but it said nobody's making as much noise as Rockford, Illinois. So, but you know, we have one thing going for us that none of the other cities have. I've worked on building up that airport for years and actually got the international terminal there. And I know in meeting after meeting with Mike Dunn and Bob O'Brien, you know, we talked about, well, if we build it, they will come. And the issue was, I don't think any of us, until Bob O'Brien really, a light bulb turned on a couple of years ago, I don't think any of us really thought that the they would include a full-fledged university like Embry-Riddle. I mean, this is stunning. I mean, it's spectacular. I don't know how many stars that you can light up with the fact that if Embry-Riddle comes. And the things that it will bring, it not only helps out Embry-Riddle with the opportunity to have these students go into aerospace manufacturing in Rockford, but it enhances Rockford as a center for aerospace manufacturing and research, because there's a huge research arm of Embry-Riddle School of Engineering that they will be carrying on with NIU School of Engineering and also coordinating with Rock Valley. I tell you guys, I mean, this is the type of thing where you know, if it comes, you know, nobody will need shoes. We'll be floating on air for about, you know, 2 feet off the floor, just pinching ourselves and saying, wow, you know, just wow.
I'm waiting for the headline. Congressman declares city to not wear shoes right. If Embry-Riddle locates there.
Absolutely. We're just, I mean, you know, the things that will bring about 250 full-time employees, you know, use your economic multiplier of at least 7. In fact, when we had that big press conference kickoff at Veterans Hall, in our Memorial Hall, Rockford, remember that a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
I got there a little bit early, and I talked to one fellow, and I said, no, what do you do? He said, well, I'm with the Plumbers Union. I said, well, good for you. I said, I bet you're already estimating the number of work hours that the plumbers will be involved in building that facility. He said yes. So it was kind of neat, you know, to see the people that will benefit, the tradesmen showing up at a rally like that to encourage Embry-Riddle to come to Rockford.
Absolutely.
That's Rockford at its best.
It is. Congressman, we're almost out of time. We know you've got a busy schedule in front of you. As always, we appreciate the access. We appreciate your time.
You bet. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congressman Don Menz.